Well, it's time to begin the teleclass lecture, Infection Prevention and Control in Long-Term Care Facilities. My name is Paul Weber. I would like to welcome all of you to this teleclass, and I thank you very much for joining us today. Now, I'm really delighted that Professor Anderson is able to join us as well today, certainly since she's the one giving the lecture. You can see on the title slide that she is a professor of hygiene and infection control at the Oslo University Hospital and with a specialty in medical microbiology. I don't think that we have ever met in person. However, I know this lady quite well through her reputation and her publications. In fact, it was her reputation that led me to a publication on infection control in nursing homes in Oslo, and then to invite her to give this lecture. She is known around the globe to be a very smart lady. She is a popular lecturer at the University of Oslo. She is a member of the editorial board of the Asia-Pacific Journal of Tropical Disease, and in fact, she's so popular in Asia that she will very shortly be traveling to Beijing to speak at the first annual symposium on antimicrobial research. Now, before Professor Anderson begins, I would like to acknowledge Diversey, Inc. The great folk at Diversey are really very valuable supporters of the teleclass education program as a whole, and they are sponsoring this teleclass broadcast in particular. Thank you very much to everybody at Diversey. And now from the University of Oslo to give the lecture, Infection Prevention and Control in Long-Term Care Facilities, I give you Professor Anderson.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for your kind words. I'm talking about strategies to control preventable infections in long-term care facilities. And nosocomial infection, that is like holes or common, living together, for instance, in healthcare institutions, and nosocomial infection in long-term care, that is a major source of morbidity and mortality and accounts for 30% of hospital admissions from nursing homes in USA and is the most common immediate cause of death in nursing homes and significantly associated with higher categories of dependency. Next slide. The prevalence of infections in nursing homes in different countries may vary from 5 to 33%. And in this table, you see Italy, USA, Norway, Germany, France, Hong Kong. They may be approximate similar figures. Next slide. The burden of nosocomial infection is very high, also in Norwegian nursing homes. More than 7% have infections, and that is 1% higher than in Norwegian hospitals. And that is serious because 0.8% of the Norwegian population live in nursing homes with complex medical problems, a very high age, and needs assistance for daily living. Next slide. An infection may have severe consequences, including debilitation, hospital admissions, and death, as you see from this study of Koch et al., from Norway, with non-infection and infection. Next slide. The global elderly population is increasing. It is estimated that in 2050, 20% of the global population is 65 years or older, and that is 2.5 billion people. And the European population over 80 years were 20 million in 2006, and is estimated to be 57 million in 2050. And the U.S. population, 65 years or older, that would be 20% of the population in 2030. And it is estimated that 30 million more than today may need long-term care. Next slide. The population development may be shown like pyramids. For Germany, 1956 to the left, 2006 in the middle, and 2050. And you see, it is elongation and older age groups are increasing. Next slide. The estimated consequences of the elderly boom is that there will be more and older patients in long-term care. More patients with chronic diseases may live longer. There may be more infections, often caused by more resistant strains, and we have will have perhaps a global, so-called global microbiology. And surgical treatment on older persons may increase, for instance, heart and orthopedic surgery in USA, and thereby more postoperative infections and more staphylococcus aureus and more MSA. And this may challenge economy, facilities, and caregivers. Ongoing financial crisis like today and a lower national resource or income may have a severe impact on this future for older people. Next slide. The patterns of infections in long-term care facilities are ordinary healthcare-associated infections, urinary tract infections, lower respiratory tract infections, infections in skin and bones, and postoperative wound infections, and A and nail infections and other infections. And Staphylococcus aureus and gram-negative rods predominates more or less resistant to antibiotics dependent on which country we are in. In addition, we have the seasonal or endemic or local outbreaks like gastrointestinal infections with different strains, influenza virus, and resistant bacteria endemic or epidemic, and scabies, even scabies and other small animals may also create some problems in nursing homes, even in Oslo. Next slide. Urinary tract infection is the main problem in nursing homes, and 40% of all long-term care infections in both gender are associated with urinary tract infections, and that is associated with urinary incontinence, immobilization, dehydration, dementia. It's often asymptomatic in 20%. And inwelling catheter is very strongly associated with, of course, and catheter used during diarrhea. And it is cross-contaminated via hands, catheter use, textiles, and so on. And this is the antibiotic-consuming illness in nursing homes or long-term care, which often results in development of very resistant bacteria. Next slide. Lower respiratory tract infection is the main cause of mortality in long-term care. It may often show a marked seasonal pattern during autumn and winter and associated with dysphagia and aspiration among elderly. Infectious agents are transmitted by contaminated swabs, hands, air, food, and water, and so on, and transmitted from other sick persons like staff, other patients, visitors, and often resulting in pneumonia or bronchitis or influenza epidemics followed by bacterial invasion of, for instance, pneumococci or Staphylococcus aureus. In 50% of the cases, the antibiotic use is inappropriate. Next slide. Here you see the invasive pneumococcal disease in England during the pre-conjugate vaccine era. You see the seasonality to the left and age groups and the high age groups to the right. That is a study by Trotter et al. Next slide. Pandemic influenza in 2009 was nearly no problem for elderly in Norway or elsewhere in the world. But ordinary influenza is every year, every autumn and winter. There are still many questions like who should be protected against influenza, who should be vaccinated every year or seldom, who should use PPE, personal protective equipment, and what kind of PPE. Next slide. The cubitus ulcer or bed sore from pressure to ulcer may take only 45 days or a few hours in high-risk patients, for instance, in hospitals. And pressure sores is studied in nursing homes in USA in 2004, and they found 11% of nursing home patients had pressure sores, and estimated that 60,000 die each year from complications, mostly infections. And this is a life-threatening nursing home injury. And the prevalence in Norwegian nursing home varies between 4 and 9%, and infected bed sores, that is 1 to 2%. So this is one important indicator of quality of care in all nursing homes. Next slide. Postoperative chronic bone infections after unsuccessful surgery often ends in nursing homes. Approximately 1% of patients in nursing homes in Norway have postoperative bone infections, and the regular cause is Staphylococcus aureus, which is the predominant bacteria. Next slide. Other skin infections like erysipelas, cellulitis, and other infections are found often in diabetic patients in long-term care. And as you see from the table to the left, the figure to the left, you see the aged care facilities significantly more than in the community of those skin infections, like cellulitis. Next slide. Clostridium difficile infections increases in long-term care. The elderly are at a special risk, and up to 40% of gastroenteritis cases have Clostridium difficile, for instance, demonstrated in Pennsylvania nursing homes in 2010. Antibiotics with special Clostridium difficile risk are clindamycin, third-generation cephalosporins, and fluoroquinolones. The Clostridium difficile increases in incidence and severity in North America and Europe with the development of toxin-producing hypervirulent strains. And there is a transmission risk also from asymptomatic carriage from skin and hands and tube feedings. And Clostridium difficile may even be airborne, the spores. The economic healthcare cost is incremental in hospitals. The cost in nursing homes is unknown. Next slide. Clostridium difficile infections in Pennsylvania nursing homes are shown here in this slide. Next slide. The Clostridium difficile is transmitted by shedding long-living spores from exposure to the CDI patient, to the environment, to the room, to portable equipment, to skin, clothing, and bedding, back to hands, and to remote environmental surfaces, and to other susceptible patients, and so on. Next slide. Norovirus attacks patients and staff in nursing homes in epidemic outbreaks during autumn, winter, and all the whole year. The length of outbreak may vary 2 to 3 weeks, and the attack rate is high both in patients and in staff. And it is often repeated infections and outbreaks because this is a very robust and resistant virus with nearly no immunologic reaction. And the excretion may be up to 32 days in elderly persons. Next slide. The norovirus is on cruise every year in Europe, and this was in May 2010. Then we had cruise from Oslo around in Europe several times with norovirus. And you may see that the cruise, that is also elderly people, and they are coming, they are admitted to hospitals with their illness, and from there to nursing home or long-term care after these virus cruises. Next slide. MRSA is a global public health threat, and this is a map from 2006 showing that the Americas, Europe, and Australia it's a high number of MRSA cases here. Next slide. And the reservoirs of MRSA in nursing homes and long-term care may increase. And as you see, it's a high number of patients in England, Ireland, France, Belgium, USA, Spain, Italy. So, next slide. And both patients and staff are affected, as shown in studies from Italy and Northern Ireland. You see the staff is very represented here. And the index person may often be a staff, as shown by Albrick and Harbart. And special programs for long-term care patients is decubitus ulcers, catheters and skin infections, and multiple site colonization. And the epidemiological impact of MRSA is related to hospital admissions and severe infections. Next slide. MRSA skin infections are increasing and therefore also an increasing problem for healthcare workers and their families. Next slide. In France, a reduction of MRSA is observed also in long-term care. As you see to the left down, rehabilitation long-term have been reduced with 53% during the period 2001 to 2006. Next slide. And the MRSA trend may also fall in some EU countries, and it is said to fall also in USA. Next slide. But it's still increasing in countries like Norway, and even in elderly persons. Next slide. Other resistant microbes may increase in long-term care, like resistant cocci other than MRSA, especially vancomycin-resistant enterococci associated with urinary tract infections, and penicillin-resistant pneumococci, and gram-negative rods with extended beta-lactamase production, like ESBL, with especially E. coli strains worldwide, and other bacteria like Klebsiella, Enterobacter, Citrobacter, Cereatia, and so on. And so we have the very, very resistant rods like Pseudomonas and Acinetobacter that may live in the environment for several months under dry conditions and are very resistant against antibiotics. Next slide. And the very resistant gram-negative rods are increasing, like the NDM bacteria now coming from New Delhi, metallo-beta-lactamase 1 gene. And the main problems with those bacteria are the resistance to all beta-lactam antibiotics and often to most other antibiotics, few treatment options and severe outcome, spread of resistance by resistant gene, cross-contamination via patients and staff, environmental contamination, and transfer of patients and personnel within and between healthcare institutions, networks, and countries. And it is a lack of molecular global surveillance networks here, and lack of infection control, and that is very serious. Next slide. As you can see from this slide, the distribution of mobile metallo-beta-lactamase are like bacteria resistant to all penicillins, cephalosporins, and carbapenems. It is found all over the world. Next slide. The risks of medical tourism is transmission of those antibiotic-resistant strains. And the NDM superbug mutation that shows now up in New Delhi drinking water, to quote Tolman and Walsh. And the risk from medical tourism is increasing amongst some that is cosmetic surgery that is a growing market. Next slide. Reasons for hospitalization in India or Pakistan of 14 UK source patients coming back infected with super-resistant NDM1 bacteria in India or Pakistan was renal or bone marrow transplantation, dialysis, cerebral infarction, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, pregnancy even, burns, road traffic accidents, and cosmetic surgery. Next slide. The basic problem of resistance is the overuse of antibiotics. In many places, in many countries, bought on the street, as you see to the left. In USA, the amazing misuse and therapeutic nihilism concerning antibiotics serve as efficient multiplier of these isolates. Next slide. The specific infection control problem that arise in this setting. That is, we are sharing the same patients, microbes, visitors, and often the same staff from nursing home, hospital, home care, and back again. Next slide. The specific infection control problems in nursing homes is the patient with reduced physical and psychological condition, mixed medical clinical illnesses, breaks in the skin, invasive devices, and so on, who needs close and repeated assistance with personal hygiene, toilet, nutrition, dressing, undressing, walk, training, and so on. Long duration of patient contact strongly associated with bacterial contamination of the staff's hands, shown for instance, for MRSA. Contact transmission is a special problem, but also airborne transmission without isolation possibilities in most nursing homes and long-term care. Shared living quarters with other patients, personnel, and visitors exposed to shared equipment, often not properly sanitized between residents. And the transmission problem may be poorly understood by personnel, patients, and visitors, and others. And the shortage of hand hygiene and glove use has been shown by Thompson et al., for instance. Infections and colonization may, under such conditions, spread quickly. Next slide. Hand hygiene compliance is a problem, and the use of jewelry inhibits good hand hygiene. And wristwashes may have, there are also more bacteria on hands when wristwashes are used. As you can see to the left here, among the Norwegian healthcare workers, 50% are wearing jewelry or wristwatches, and even the wedding ring may be a risk of infection, as you can see to the right. Next slide. There are many guidelines and consensus conferences for long-term care facilities, and that is international, national, HICPAC, SHIA, AIPIC, IDSA, and so on. Next slide. But long-term care don't have the resources available, to quote Andrew Seymour, Canada, 2009. Most of the nursing homes did not conduct all recommended infection surveillance and control activities. In Norway, still in 2011, it's low staffing rate, staff without training in infection control work. Next slide. And low staffing rate, low education, and missing guidelines, routines, perhaps. In our nursing homes, 70% of the staff are without training in infection control work, and 30% have no healthcare qualifications at all. And that is a big problem. And hospital staff with part-time job in nursing homes may transmit pathogens in both ways. Next slide. Overcrowded and understaffed nursing homes may increase the infection pressure, increase levels of MRSA infections and of other superbugs. Each time you get a new roommate, your risk of acquiring these serious infections increases by 10%, to quote Dr. Soltman. Next slide. Shortage of resources may result in original solutions like don't wash sheets, turn them over, astonishing order at the Heart of Hospital in England, published in Daily Mail 2007. That was an NHS hospital with a hard-up economy. Next slide. Are nursing homes built for modern infection control? 50% of nursing homes in Oslo are not suitable for modern patient care. The oldest is from 1860. Are there isolation facilities also for airborne infections? No, not. Is the structure and environment adapted to effective infection control? Are the patients' beds in the corridor? Well, not usually in nursing homes, but very common in our hospitals. Next slide. What about hygiene? Infections thrives in dirty places. People bring infection on their hands into work. During the day, pathogens are added to desk surfaces, the arms of office chairs, keyboards, and equipment, like Clostridium difficile and MRSA. Next slide. Unclean areas may transmit agents, even pandemic influenza A virus has been shown to be living in the room of patients up to 10 or 17 days after the patient got ill, as shown by Macias et al. Next slide. The environment is often dirty. It is often the simplest way to spare money, but is that re-sparing money? Next slide. Are we using contaminated equipment? Like stethoscopes, blood pressure apparatus, computers, mobile phones, respiratory devices, and so on. To the left, you see a stethoscope with a lot of bacteria on, and down to the left, oxygen concentrator full with dust and bacteria, and to the right, down CPAP, which is much very often used, inner part with slime and bacteria and fungi, and up to the right, in some UK hospitals, MRSA is detected on 25% of computers. What about MRSA on computers in long-term care facilities? Next slide. Are blood-borne infections increasing because of failure to adhere to fundamental principles on infection control? Sharing finger stick devices and or glucometer among diabetic residents is a risk. Therefore, CDC, a new CDC guideline is now made. Next slide. Are we using contaminated textiles and paper because bacteria are living very long on textiles and also on the paper, on journals, and everything like that? Next slide. Is there cross-contamination via food and water by self-service? Can the patient, visitors, others touch the food and drink of other patients? Next slide. Isolation is the specific infection control problem in nursing homes and long-term care because of shortage of isolates and resources for treatment. Shortage of nurses, knowledge, and personal protective equipment. And patients need, of course, more contact and treatment during this situation. However, it is studied in hospitals that patients in short-term isolation have shown a positive attitude towards isolation. Next slide. MRSA is a challenge to Norwegian nursing home personnel. As you can see to the left, the quality of life for the MRSA patient is estimated as a very large problem, and the staffing problem also, and the building standard is also estimated as a very large problem. Next slide. And persistent MRSA predominates in long-term care. So when it's first coming in, it's persistent. And nearly one out of three colonized develop serious infections, and it's long-lasting infections or carriage, and may transmit MRSA to other persons, like shown by Mansour and Bradley. Next slide. And the MRSA contamination and density in the patient's room is shown by Chang et al. And as you can see, it is on the body, and it is on the rail and table and phone and call button and everything. And after one day, the environment is contaminated nearly all over. because MRSA may also be airborne with aerial dispersal all over the room. Next slide. The body site colonization may vary, so therefore, if you are only taking a nose sample and now alone, you may detect 55% of the patients with MRSA colonization. Next slide. MRSA is transmitted from patients, MRSA patients via, often via hands, as shown by Ludlam et al. From the patient's hands to gloved hands of nurses, 45%, and from the nurse's gloved hands to the environment further, 65%. Next slide. How infection control problems may be addressed in long-term care facilities. Next slide. Infection control is more difficult to perform in long-term care and home care than in hospitals. That is very important to see. It is important to identify, therefore, the infectious patient before he or she cross-contaminates. Next slide. Infection control should be controlled by law. Healthcare-associated infection should be reported to control the quality and safety of care. In Europe, it is done prevalence survey in 5 of 33 countries, and infection control by law is present in 8 of those 33 countries, studied by Moro et al. In Norway, we have control law and instruction for all healthcare services concerning infection control. Next slide. And in Oslo County, for instance, all nursing homes have written infection control program, but more important is to look at how infection control is implemented in daily work, for instance, by external visits and reports by dedicated infection control personnel. That should be done as a regular routine. Next slide. Information and communication is needed. Report infections and outbreaks to whom it may concern, dependent on the infectious agent, of course, to own staff, the hospital, other nursing home or home care that have treated this patient, and to the staff that may have been exposed to infection, especially MRSA, and serious infections or large outbreaks to the authorities, local or to the country. Next slide. The organization and structure of long-term care is basic. The nursing home should be planned and structured for infection control, which is like good quality, efficiency, and probably cost-benefit. I think very cost-benefit. Isolation room with anteroom for patients with infections. Single patient room, since sharing rooms increases risk of superbugs by 10%. Single bathrooms. Since common bathrooms increases microbial transmission pressure. Clean food service, since self-service increases the transmission pressure. And personnel should use uniforms changing daily to avoid cross-transmission of microbes. Cleaning daily of the patient's rooms and bathroom, and no dry mopping. Avoid overcrowding and understaffing, since this increases levels of MRSA and other infections, as shown by Clements. Next slide. Prevent exposure to infections for the resident, employee, family, and visitor by isolation, early isolation, and disinfection. Educate and train all personnel in the basic of infection control and prevention. Surveillance by prevalence, incidence, or separate outbreak registration with report to the public and local authority. Screen patients and personnel exposed to MRSA, screen patients exposed to VRE and other multi-drug resistant organisms, and isolate infected or probably infected patients and disinfect contaminated rooms and equipment. Next slide. Prevent antibiotic resistant superbugs by preventing infections like hand hygiene, personal hygiene, clean caring, isolation, and following good quality hygienic procedures for care and treatment. Avoid catheters and pressure ulcers that can be avoided. Good hygiene when handling food, medicines, eye drops, and so on. The dedicated doctor should be in charge, regular and continuous supervision by a dedicated practitioner. Antibiotic exposure is significantly associated with multi-drug-resistant gram-negative bacteria, as shown by Fallon et al. Next slide. Identify and treat infection, not colonization or contamination. That is the CDC campaign from March 2004. And that is to identify microbes with resistance patterns, because then you can avoid unnecessary use of antibiotics. And you can avoid use of broad-spectrum antibiotics which select for resistant bacteria. And do not treat viral infections with antibiotics. Next slide. Increase and control hand hygiene for the staff and the patient and the visitors. Next slide. Hand hygiene programs are important. Staff education reduces respiratory illness in long-term care, as shown by Falsey et al. There is a simple linear relationship between MRSA and hand hygiene compliance, as shown by Nicolau. The public has right to know and to ask concerning hand hygiene, and that is shown by Fletcher, and that is starting on in USA. I know they use it. And the World Health Organization has a program with Clean Care is Safer Care, My 5 Moments of Hand Hygiene, and High Hand Hygiene into Healthcare Practice. And if there was at least 40% compliance with hand hygiene, this would protect against outbreaks, to quote Talon et al. But the compliance rate in long-term care should be nearly 100%. Next slide. This shows the significant reduction of MRSA when you are increasing the consumption of alcohol hand rub. Next slide. Avoid medical tourism with negative effects for inhabitants, and those negative effects you can see on that, read for yourself on that slide. This is from the WHO. And risk for import of very resistant strains, especially the risk for import of very resistant strains back to your country, back to your home and hospital and nursing home. Next slide. Avoid other important risks of microbial transmission. Avoid unnecessary transport of patients between many departments and healthcare institutions that is associated with spread of infections. And avoid part-time jobs for the staff. Staffing work at many healthcare institutions at the same time is a risk. And we have a lot of that in Norway still. Avoid personnel and visitors with infectious diseases until they does not transmit infections. Next slide. Prevent urinary tract infections by preventing catheters. That is number one. Remove so-called hospital catheters coming back with the patient from the hospital. Use urinary catheter reminders or stop orders. And avoid long-term catheter. Prefer single-use sterile catheter if necessary. And regular toilet training and the use of incontinence equipment is very important in long-term care. And ask the doctor in charge. Next slide. Prevent respiratory infections by enhanced oral hygiene. This may reduce pneumonia and death, as shown by two publications recently. vaccination, dual pneumococcal and influenza vaccination may even prevent infarct and stroke, as shown by Hung et al. Isolation until at least 24 hours free of symptoms in single rooms or in cohort if they have the same microbial agent. Use personal protective equipment when needed and mask for the patient outside the room and separate the patient from others. And cough and sneeze etiquette not in your uniform sleeves. And the access control, sick persons should stay at home. Screening and diagnostic testing is very important here, especially if you have something epidemic going on. Next slide. Reduce respiratory infection associated with infected equipment by cleaning outer and disinfect inner parts of respiratory equipment regularly, always before reuse. And here you see the CPAP, which is increased in use all over the world, and it may be full of slime and biofilm with bacteria and fungi. We are cleaning it, and we are disinfecting it with gas. Next slide. Prevent spread of gastrointestinal infections. The patients should be treated in single-room isolation very early. And personnel should use gloves, gowns, and room bones, shoes and overshoes, and mask cap if suspected norovirus. Daily cleaning and disinfection is important. And residents, visitors, and personnel should follow written advices. That is very important here. And the access control is very important. Sick persons should stay at home. Hand hygiene and personal hygiene before and after visiting a patient is very important, as always. And if it's a great outbreak, more than two, discuss closure for new admissions. And staff with gastroenteritis suspect norovirus, and they should stay at home until 2 days after the last symptoms. Next slide. Reduce or change antibiotics, and maybe you can get lucky and reduce Clostridium difficile infections. Like Prince, who showed that they took away cephalosporins and quinolones, and the Clostridium difficile rate went down. Next slide. There are few MRSA studies from nursing homes in the Cochrane review, but in the meantime, nursing homes can take advantage of lessons learned from hospital research. Next slide. And that is to prevent MRSA also in long-term care. Patients and personnel there should not be the 21st century leapers. And hand hygiene and the use of personal protective equipment is very important here. And isolate or remove from duty MRSA-positive cases and start decolonization. Disinfect contaminated environment and equipment. And screen all staff and patients exposed to MRSA. Multiple sites sampling, nose, throat, perineum, and hands, wrists, and drains, and wounds, and eczema, and scars, and so on. And restrict work and visit of MRSA-positive persons until they are MRSA-negative again, and flag MRSA in the journal as a critical information. Minimize use of medical devices and decontaminate after use. The patient should have the same good quality of care like other patients, of course. Next slide. Decolonize MRSA cases and follow them up. Recommended to inhibit infection and transmission. That is skin disinfection, whole body washing and bathing with an antiseptic detergent, including here. It's topical intranasal treatment. It is environmental decontamination and a lot of additional measures, so it may be some complicated. It may fail, but repeat and take care of the environmental MRSA. My experience is that you have to repeat it 2 or 3 times and then they get negative. It may be up to 85% effective, but older persons may be very difficult often to treat. Next slide. Reduce cross-contamination by a good general infection control routine. And be aware of that. If you have MRSA carriers, 30% of the samples in the room may be MRSA positive. So therefore, we are using masks when we are going into the room. MRSA thrives up to 10 months in dirty areas in a dry condition. Next slide. Cleaning and good care of the patient is important, but remember that every place there is water, it's gram-negative strains, and if you are using much antibiotics here, it may be very resistant gram-negative strains. So here it's very important to have a good cleaning. Next slide. Personal hygiene is not a personal decision in healthcare. Often it is, seems to be, but who would you prefer to all those two? Next slide. Personal hygiene, the staff should use uniforms because clean textiles prevents infections, and this should be washed in the institution's laundry, not taken home in the family and washed there. Next slide. There should be a good infection control for textiles in the laundry, have a dirty side and a washing side with up to 95 degrees Celsius and a very clean side for clean textiles. Next slide. Clean care is safer care, and environmental hygiene reduces spread of infections and is a good quality indicator, and it is very reputation related, at least in Norway. Contaminated rooms after patients with infections have a good terminal disinfection before cleaning. Next slide. Clean rooms and furniture every day, at least 5 days a week. Next slide. Prevent equipment carried infections. Clean and disinfect equipment like this one I showed you earlier. Next slide. And use hot water. 85 degrees is the best disinfection method, everything that can be soaked in liquid. But control bedpans, it may be rest of feces there, you see down to the right. Next slide. Equipment hygiene is important because we are losing so much computers and mobile telephones. This is from the nursing home. You see, with all these mobile telephones standing around. Next slide. And gas disinfection, the use of 5% hydrogen peroxide mist has been used to disinfect inner parts of medical equipment that comes very close to the patients. And it's very good in use, and we also use it against in the room, which is very difficult to disinfect in other ways. Next slide. Food and water hygiene, hand hygiene for all, including staff before and after meals. And patients with active infections or carrier state should not eat together with others. And visitors should not serve food or drink to other patients. And self-service should be omitted because of norovirus and resistant bacteria unless there is single-packed food. We are using often single-packed food, which the patient can take himself. The dishwasher should not produce aerosols, and the temperature should be at least 85 degrees because of norovirus and enterococci that survive 65-75 degrees. Next slide. Learn to work with patients that are isolated and to use PPE when needed. The negative air pressure isolate for airborne infections should be used, built and used. Here you see one example. Here you see, next slide, you see an isolation unit in your nursing homes. That may be used for MRSA, for instance. Next slide. The PPE, gown, gloves, cap, and mask. Gloves with the long cuff is very important, and we are using these PPE addressed to the suspected microbe or infection, and follow these routines which are in the long-term care where you are working. Learn, train to dress and undress this PPE, since specially undressing is often associated with self-contamination. Next slide. Infection control in the nursing home, the future. Preventable infections are unacceptable. This is the consumer empowerment to quote Geberding Frieden from 2010. Still, infections in long-term care are increasing. To monitor is important because of globalization of patients, staff, and microbes. Harmonization of measures are therefore needed in the future. Infection control problems may be more difficult and expensive to solve in the future. Basic learning of infection control in medicine and other healthcare education is faulty today. A more practical learning and training of doctors and caregivers is therefore very important. Isolates and single rooms are needed to avoid spread of infections. Laboratory services are needed for diagnosis and good antibiotic stewardship, and that is very important. The quality of care and infection prevention should be similar in all types of healthcare and adjusted to the special need in nursing homes and in home care, in long-term care. Next slide. Is there any strategy for preparedness of epidemic crisis in long-term care? What about elderly in 16 nursing homes if a serious pandemic turn up next time, like avian influenza or SARS? What to do? A nursing home is not a home. It is a place for care and treatment, together with a lot of other people, in hands of more or less educated personnel, with a more and less economic power, with increasing intolerance for preventable infections. The control of present and new infectious diseases is dependent on reduction of transmission and infections in primary health care, in long-term care and home care, in hospitals, because we are sharing the same patients, and the weakest part of the infection control chain may perhaps be in long-term health care. Next slide. It's critical that vulnerable long-term care residents be protected from largely preventable infections, to quote Dr. Soltman, Kanda, 2010. And nursing homes should be prepared now for new infection control expectations, to quote Kimball, 2009. Thank you for listening.
Professor Anderson, thank you very much. That was a very thorough presentation, and I am sorry for doubting that you could get through all 100 slides in the time that we had allotted. Very well. I'm glad you mentioned it, at least on one slide, on slide 33, you mentioned the new bug, at least new to me, NDM1. Is this an increasing issue? I've just heard recently about how prevalent it's becoming and how dangerous an organism it is. Is this becoming an issue in long-term care?
Yes, that is also coming now, because it was detected in 2008, and in 2010 it started and came back to England first, and so also to USA. In Europe, it is coming in several lands. It came to countries. It came to Sweden first with the first patient, and we have had the first death in Belgium of this strain. And it is increasing, and WHO is looking at this to treat like MRSA, and to make new routines on the world basis for this new strain. Or it's not a strain, it's a gene that is transmitted from bacteria to bacteria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's, from what I've heard, it could be a great deal of trouble for us in the future. I was also curious about your indication to avoid dry mopping.
So yeah. That is because I know it's used many places in the world, in hospitals and in long-term care, in nursing homes and so on. But if you are dry mopping, you are getting the bacteria and the dust up in the air. It is coming approximately 80 centimeter up in the air when you are dusting floors. And so that is the problem with dry mopping. So we are using moist or wet mopping. And we have done studies on that to show how high up it is coming when you are dry dusting. So it is coming up in the air and to the bed, to the table, to every place.
Mm. You also mentioned bedpans briefly. Are bedpan washers very prevalent in long-term care facilities in Norway and in Europe?
Not in England, I think, but in Scandinavia, we are using hot water and bedpans and disinfection machines.
I think the bedpan washers are not so prevalent in North America, or at least not as prevalent, I think, as they should be, certainly because in many cases, there may be one for a ward or even one for the whole facility, and so there's still the issue of transporting the bedpans from room to the end of the hall or to the other wing.
Mm. We have one of those machines for instance, section for 10 to 15 patients, and it is placed in the middle in a disinfection room. We have a special disinfection room where everything is brought in, all the garbage. Everything.
Well, thank you very much for that. I want to thank Diversey for their support of this teleclass and of teleclass education. You folk have been very good to us almost since day one, and I thank you very much for that. And Professor Anderson, thank you again. It was a very thorough presentation, and your slides will be very useful. I'm very grateful to you. I hope that you will consider coming back again.
Thank you very much for that, letting me speak in here.
Well, you're most welcome. It's been our pleasure. To all, thank you as well, and we will look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Goodbye.